Hallelujah. Come on, clap those hands and give him praise today. Ah. Amen. Stand with me if you would. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. We're so thankful for those who have come to pray today. Amen. There's no time to worship Jesus like the present time. Amen. How many know he's good? He is so good. Amen. We love him today, and we're so thankful for this opportunity and this privilege. Amen. If you would just stretch your hands towards this corner here. Amen. I believe the Lord's dealing with this young man. Amen. How many want God to touch him today? Come on, lift up your voices. Let's go to the Lord in prayer for a moment. In the name of Jesus. Christmas experience like that today. Amen. Hallelujah. Stand with me if you're able. We're going to get ready to turn to the word of the Lord. Amen. Our theme this year is hope in a manger. Amen. And I want to speak to you for just a few moments on exactly that. Amen. But before I begin, can we let all of our children know how much we love and appreciate them with a hand clap of adoration? Amen. Our worship team, our musicians, amen, all those who have worked so hard, amen, to make this week possible. Amen. We're coming off of our annual Christmas banquet this week, and man, there were so many hands in that fire. So many people preparing, so many people cooking, so many people preparing games, reserving the venue, just on and on and on, months worth of preparation. How many enjoy our annual Christmas banquet? Amen. What a wonderful time we had at our annual Christmas banquet. And so we just want to say thank you to all of you who helped with that also. Amen. It takes a lot to make a small church go around, Brother Jeremy. Amen. And there's so many people involved, and we just want to say thank you to each and every one of you who have helped make this year at BBA a success. And we love you. We appreciate you. We're thankful for all of our visitors today. Amen. If you're able to stand today in honor of God's word, I'm going to take your attention to the book of Luke, the second chapter. Our children read just a few moments ago out of this story, out of the book of Matthew. Today, I want to turn your attention to Luke's interpretation, amen, Luke's revelation of the story. Luke 2, and I want to begin in verse 1. You can shout amen when you get there. Luke 2 and 1. If you do not have a Bible, please see us before you leave this place today. We want you to leave with one. We want every home to have the Word of God in it. The book of St. Luke, the second chapter and the first verse, the word of the Lord says, "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Everybody say manger. She laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Can I tell this body today that there are some wells that will never run dry? Oh yeah, there's some wells that will never run dry. The birth, the death, the resurrection of our Savior is one of those wells today. It will never run dry. Can I tell you today, we can't talk about it enough. Can I tell you today, we can't think about it enough. Can I tell you today, we can't search it out enough. It'll never run dry. You'll never discover the bottom of it. You'll never get all of it today. It's a well that will never run dry. It is absolutely staggering. I agree with what Brother Eric was saying a few moments ago. It is absolutely staggering that he even came at all. That he even came at all. But he did. He willingly came to this earth that he created. Emmanuel, God with us, as one of us. Not in the form of an angel. Come on, somebody. Not in the form of some magnificent creature. No, but he came clothed in weakness as flesh and bone. Jesus became human to endure with us and to bear our grief and our sin. Jesus, being fully God and fully man, our hope, laid as a baby in a feeding trough. This morning, I want to preach to you a simple yet profound thought. Amen. Hope in a manger. Hope in a manger. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord with me today? Amen. All over this house in appreciation, in awe, in adoration of our King today. Clap those hands and give him glory all over this house as you're seated in Jesus' name. Amen. What a beautiful day it is today. What a wonderful presence of the Lord that we feel in this house today. Amen. And I'm so glad to see the Lord drawing people to him. Amen. The Christmas story is a very familiar story to us. We have heard it read. We have heard it sung. We have seen it reenacted continuous and countless times. But familiarity has a way of dulling our sense of wonder. Amen. How many know that when you become familiar with something, there's a reason why the Bible talks about familiar spirits. When you allow something to become familiar, it has a way of dulling your senses to it. It's the reason why husbands who once loved their wives decide that there's something better along the way. It's the reason why, amen, things that we love and we appreciate, the more we have them around, the more we take them for granted. Amen. The story of Jesus Christ and his birth is the same. Amen. We allow our familiarity with it to dull our sense of wonder. Amen. It is truly a miracle that God left the splendor of heaven, Brother Andrew. Amen. And came. Amen. Made himself lower than the angels. Dwelt among us. Amen. And experienced and took upon himself the weight and the sins of the world. It is nothing short of a miracle. Amen. And we allow our familiarity with it to dull our sense of wonder and our sense of awe. What once shook the world can become routine if we're not careful. Come on. What we once loved will become mundane to us if we're not careful. Amen. So we must pay attention. Amen. And I love how in the middle of this humble story, amen, the writer Luke does something very intentional. He does not rush past all of the details, but he tells in very detail. He slows down and he directs our attention to one specific object, amen, in this narrative, and that is the manger. Amen, the manger. Luke does not rush past the manger, but repeatedly he returns us to the manger. Well, Luke mentions the manger three times in this one chapter. In verse 7, the Bible says that the baby was laid in a manger. In verse 12, the Bible says that the angel tells the shepherds they will find the baby lying in a manger. And in verse 16, the Bible says that the shepherds came and find Mary, Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. Can I tell you today, the Holy Ghost has wanted to tell us something. There's something significant about the manger. Amen. There's something significant about the manger. If God mentions it once in Scripture, then we ought to pay attention to it. But if God mentions it three times in Scripture, He's emphasizing it. He's letting us know there's something very significant about the manger, the trough that our Savior was laid in. Amen. He was emphasizing the manger. And Luke continually returns us to this very specific object. God wants us to look beyond the stable. God wants us to look beyond the shepherds. God wants us to look beyond the angels that worshiped Him. And God wants us to see Him lying in a manger. In a manger. Amen. The manger was a place of humility. A manger was not a cradle. Amen. As some of you have and home, or if you go down to the other end of the building in the daycare, you'll see it. Amen. The manger was not a cradle. It was not a bassinet, somebody. Come on, it was not a royal bed. The manger was a feeding trough. That's what the manger was. The manger was a feeding trough. The manger was a place where the animals ate from. It was rough, it was common, and it was unclean. Yet Luke says when the Son of God entered into the world, He was laid in a manger. Our hope came in a manger. Amen. This was not an accident, church. It was not because God lacked resources. It was not because heaven was unprepared and didn't reserve a room for Mary and Joseph and Jesus. Huh? Come on. It wasn't because heaven was unprepared. It was because it was God's plan from the very beginning. And God wanted us to see that He came humbly into this world to save it. To save it. That tells us something very powerful. God is not intimidated by low places. Let me tell you something. The people of God should not be intimidated by low places. How many been in some low places? Come on, if you haven't become a pastor, you'll experience some low places. Amen, but God is not intimidated by low places, and the people of God should not be intimidated by low places. Amen. God wants us to understand today He can meet us right where we're at. Some of you walked into this service today feeling unworthy. Some of you walked into this service today feeling broken. Some of you walked into this service today feeling overlooked and forgotten. But let me tell you something, the manger reminds us that God specializes in humble places today. God specializes in lowly places today. God chooses what the world calls as insignificant to reveal what is heavenly and eternal. And that is the love of God, the hope of God, the mercy of God. Amen. He came in a manger, and that manger reveals God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Luke does not say that a prophet was laid in a manger. Luke does not say that an angel was laid in a manger. Come on, and Luke does not say that a mere child was laid in a manger. He says a Savior was laid in a manger. God, Emmanuel, God with us, was laid in a manger. This baby was not half God and half man. Amen. He was not the second person of a triune, amen, making his appearance into the world. He was God himself, robed in flesh. That's exactly who he was. He has all power in heaven and in earth. Heaven is his throne. The earth is his footstool. Come on, this was not an angel, wasn't a prophet. It was God in flesh. Amen. And he came to redeem us with his precious blood. A Savior was laid in a manger. Amen. The Apostle Paul declares it plainly in the book of 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and the 16th verse, that God was manifest in the flesh. The same God who spoke light into existence now lay speechless in a feeding trough. My Lord, have mercy. Imagine that with me, if you will. Amen. The same God who hung the stars on high, spoke light into existence, created us from the dust of the earth, now lay in a feeding trough. Humbly he came into this world to show us that God is not intimidated by low places. Amen. But God specializes in taking you from a low place. Amen. When you humble yourself before God, the Bible says he will exalt you. He will exalt you. Amen. Our hope came laid in a manger. Amen. The same God who spoke that light into existence lay speechless in a feeding trough. The same God who hung the stars in the sky allowed himself to be held in the arms of a teenage girl named Mary. The manger, church, was not a sign, Brother Doug, of weakness. It was not a sign of weakness. It was a revelation of God's love. It was a revelation that God will meet you wherever you're at. No matter what you're going through, he can find you. He can come where you are today. Amen. Our Savior laid in a manger. It was a revelation of God's love. God did not send hope, somebody. God became hope. Come on. He didn't say, let me send somebody else to get it done for me. He said, I'm going to go take care of it myself. Huh? He looks down, Brother Timmy, out of the splendor of heaven. He's looking at his creation, struggling miserably, reaching to obtain the promise that they could not get their hands upon. And God says, I'm going to leave this place. I'm going to go down where my people are at. I'm going to robe myself in flesh. I'm going to shed my innocent blood and redeem them of their sins. My God, what a miracle story it is today. How magnificent is our God today. Amen. To leave the splendor of heaven. Amen. The manger is a revelation of God's love for us. He didn't send hope. He became hope. He came as hope. Hope in a manger. When you look into that manger, you're not looking at some distant deity way far off. Now you're looking at Emmanuel. You're looking at God with us. You're looking at the Savior of the world. The manger was a sign for those who are searching. The angel told the shepherds, this shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Not a crown, not a scepter. Come on, not a white stallion. Huh? Not a chariot. None of these things. Not a throne. Come on, somebody. The sign was a manger. The sign that the Lord gave the shepherds was when you get there, you're going to see the Savior lying in a manger. That was the sign that was given them. The sign was a manger. God made himself findable. How many know God is still findable? How many know we are still findable? How many know we were the ones that was lost and God was gracious enough to leave the 99 and come looking for us and find us where we were at today? Hallelujah. God is findable and we are findable. It's a match made in heaven. You are his creation. These hands were made to clap and give glory unto God. Your mouth was made to open and shout out hallelujah to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords today. It's why we were created. Amen. He is reachable. He knows exactly where we're at today. God is findable. These shepherds, they were not theologians. Come on, they were not priests. They were not scholars. Amen. But God said, if you're looking for hope, he said, look for a manger. How many know sometimes you find God, Sister Amy, in the most unlikely of places? How many know sometimes we got to go through some stuff we don't want to go through? We got to find ourselves in a setting that we don't want to be in. But let me tell you something, you can find God there. You can find God exactly where you're at. And then the Lord told these angels, or told these shepherds, he said, if you want to find hope, if you want to find your Savior, look for the manger. Look in the lowly place. Amen. He came humbly into this world to redeem us by his blood, to save us from our sin. And if you're looking for hope today, you can find God in the most unlikely of places. And that same truth applies to us today. Come on, somebody. You don't have to clean yourself up and become perfect to find him. You don't have to have it all together and have everything right and be a perfect person to find God. Come on, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God today. And what the Lord was letting us know, if you want to find me in the low place. Yeah, I'm exalted high, but let me tell you something, you can find me in your low place today. Hallelujah. Amen. You don't have to earn your way into his presence. You just got to come where he is. Huh? He said, just go look, just follow that eastern star. Just go over there and somewhere in an inn where there's no room for him in the inn, he'll be out back in the manger. Your Savior will be in the manger. Look in the lowly place. Amen. Hope was placed where ordinary people could reach it. Can I tell you, if you're ordinary, and there may be a few of you in this place that are extraordinary, especially in your own mind. But if you're ordinary, you can find God in some ordinary places. How you can find God in some unlikely places. You just got to come where he is. Hope was placed where ordinary people could reach him. The manger became a place of transformation. Luke tells us, the shepherds came with haste and they found the baby lying in a manger. How many know the Bible records that the shepherds did not leave the way they came? Huh? They didn't leave the way they came. They came searching, but they left praising. How many know when you find God, you won't leave the way you came? When you finally figure out where he is, when you finally get a hold of him, when you finally lay your eyes on him, when you finally get it down in your spirit how bad you need him, you're going to leave differently than you came. My God. Ooh, I feel my help in this room today. Huh? You can find God in the most unlikely of places, but one thing you won't do is you won't leave the same way you came. Because God changes things. It's a place of transformation. When you get a hold of Jesus, things begin to change. They came searching, but they left glorifying. They came searching, but they left giving praise unto God. And one encounter with hope in a manger can change everything. And that's exactly what it did. The manger was temporary. How many know? It was not a place that we would have chosen for our king. But can I tell you, the manger was temporary, Brother Ray. And the grave was temporary also. How many know he don't need a bed to sleep in? How many know he don't need a grave to lay in? He's the great God of glory, and heaven is His throne, and earth is His footstool, and He's the great God of glory, the Savior of the world, and He came to us as hope in a manger today. Clap your hands and give God some praise. Hallelujah. Amen. The manger was temporary. Jesus would not stay in that manger. He would grow. How many know we got to grow? How many know you can't stay that little kid? Raiding mom and dad's pantry of the Frankenberry. How many, come on, I know some of you like cereal like I do. Don't lie. You eat it at night right before you go to bed, just like I do. But we got to grow up. We got to stop being children. We got to grow up. We got to grow into men and women. Amen. And Jesus would not stay in that manger. He would grow. He would start a ministry. He would start a church. Amen. They would rise against Him. They would crucify Him. He would be buried in a borrowed tomb, and He would raise again. But everything started in that lowly place. Everything started in that place of humility. And that's how God still works today. He meets us where we are. But He never leaves us where we are. How many's glad that God met you where you were, but He didn't leave you where you were? Woo, clap your hands and give Him praise if God's touched you today. If God's made a difference in your life. If God's delivered you, if God's made a way for you, if God's healed you, if God's transformed your life, give Him a hand clap of praise today. Hallelujah. He meets us where we are. Praise God, He will not leave us where we are. Amen. Stand with me as the musicians come quickly. Hope still lies in a manger. The manger reminds us that hope came down. Hope came to where we are. God saw His creation struggling. God saw His creation failing. God saw His creation time and time again turning to false gods, turning to irrelevant things. God saw His creation in the mess that they were in. Amen. And this manger reminds us that hope came down to where we are. Hope became reachable. Hope became personal. My God. Hope became personal. No matter how low your situation may be today, hope can still be born there. You can still find hope where you're at today. Regardless of what you're going through, regardless of what your situation may be, hope can still be born there. If God can bring salvation out of a manger, He can bring deliverance out of your situation that you're in today. He's able to do it. He's able to do it. Can I tell this body today, on this annual Christmas service, hope is not just a message. Hope is a person, and His name is Jesus. Ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost today. Hope is not just a message. It's not something that is unattainable. Hope is a person. Hope is our God. We have the hope of glory today. He was born in a manger. Born hope in a manger. He came to where we are today. The manger reminds us that hope came down. Hope is not just a message, it's a person. His name is Jesus. And if you need hope, there's hope here today. Come on, some have already come. Some have already laid it all down. Some have already said, I want this Christmas to be the most special Christmas I ever had in my life. I found hope again. Come on, I found hope again. Amen. You can find hope in this place today. If you need hope, hope is here. If you need forgiveness, forgiveness is here. If you need salvation, salvation is here. If you need the Holy Ghost is here today. Hope is a person. He came down, laid himself in the arms of common men in a place where the animals fed to show us that he is a humble God. He's a mighty God. But he came with all humility. Amen. That's the wonderful thing about the church. That's the wonderful thing about the transformation of our mind, is the things that contradict themselves in this world, they don't contradict in the church. How many know you can be mighty and be humble? Huh? How many know you can be holy and be humble? Amen. And our God did just that. Our King, our Savior, the hope of the world, born in a place that Luke repeatedly points out to us, the manger, the manger, the manger. It was a place of lowliness where God met us. If you need salvation, he is here today. The same Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, he's still filling with his Spirit. He's still filling with the Holy Ghost today. He's still forgiving sins through repentance and baptism in his name. And he's still changing lives, and he's still transforming minds. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that our hope came in a manger. I'm thankful for the message of hope in a manger. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord all over this house today? Once again, we want to welcome all of our visitors. We're so glad to have you today. Amen. Worship with us as we sing this close.